We will be working on a process of policy within the Democratic caucus that is new, that is much more inclusive. It'll be bottom up, not top down. I'm not the kind of leader that propounds policy and then tries to command people to follow. I believe in building it through the structure of our members from the bottom up over a long period of time. Bob?
The middle class dilemma that you described came when the Democrats controlled Congress, for the most part. Why not give the Republicans the chance to put in their program to see if that can solve the problem that you described?
Well, Bob, I don't agree with your assumption. You're assuming that the problem appeared in the last 2 years. I would argue the problem appeared in the last 10 or 15 years.
All of that time, the Democrats controlled the House of Representatives. But most of it, they controlled the entire
But for time. Most of that time, we had Republican presidents who were essentially setting the economic policy that we followed. And I might add that there's a lot in the contract, the so-called contract, that is reminiscent of what the Republicans propounded and achieved in 1981, 1982, and beyond. Huge tax cuts, primarily for the wealthy, huge increases in defense, which ballooned the deficit, which I argue to you created in large part the economic problems we still face today. What they're largely propounding in the contract is a rerun of what they did in the early 80s. And we will not stand by and simply let the rerun be run. We will come up with alternatives. We will try to point out what happened in 1981. I realize that for most Americans, and probably for myself, 1981 is a long, long time ago. But we got to learn from history. And the history of the period, I believe, is that the policies they propounded then and that they're advocating now are the policies that led us to the middle-income people being on a treadmill moving backwards.
Mr. Cordell, for our business of today, how many Democratic votes do you think there will be for the Republican rules package, if any?
Well, the package has different parts. It has really 8 or 9 different parts. And as I said at the outset, I think many of the proposals will have broad bipartisan support. Again, many of them are innocuous. They are processed. Many of them we've done in the past. But I think many of them will get broad bipartisan support. There are issues today that will be contested, or there will be attempts to try to say that we would like to add things if we had the opportunity. We will point out at the outset that it's ironic that on the very first set of votes that the Republicans bring on the House floor, they have a gag close rule. They've been complaining for years and years that they didn't want close rules. Yet the first rule they bring up is, in essence, a closed rule. It's ironic. I'm not sure most Americans will pick up that idea, and maybe it's not important. But we intend to point that out. We intend to point out, in some cases, what we would like to add to things that are in the package. We'll talk in the rules package about breaking the link between special interests and Congress. We passed lobby gift reform last year. We continue to believe it is a central issue of reform in the Congress this year. We believe the American people have felt for a long time that this kind of reform should be enacted. They are worried. In every poll you see, people say special interests have too much influence on Congress. Well, one of the ways you get rid of that perception in reality is changing the lobby gift rules. And so we will say today that if we had control of the process, we would add that and try to pass that to improve the reforms that the Republicans have before us.
Mr. Gephardt.